Good morning, everyone. My name is Deborah, and I'm from Switzerland. And I'm so scared to speak in front of people, but it doesn't matter because it's for God that we are doing what we are doing. And I'm happy because I really feel that we are in a family. You don't know me, I don't know you, but we are part of the same body, and this is amazing. I don't know if we realize that, but we don't know each other. We are from different country, but we have the most important thing in our life is Jesus. Wow, and we have that in common. So thank you for welcoming us in your church. And yeah, so the title of my preaching is Wake Up, Get Up, and Don't Give Up. So we're going to read in Acts 3. Acts 3 from verse 1 to verse 10. So, most of us, I believe that we know the story of Acts. So in Acts 1 is Jesus that is taken up into heaven, and he gives the last instructions to his disciples, which is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And then Jesus is taken to heaven, and the disciples, they wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 2, we know that they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then Peter preached. And after his preaching, 300 people believed. And now we are there in Acts 3. So Peter and John are going to the synagogue to pray. So we can read. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. But Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went up, he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. So the lame beggar was there in front of the temple gate, begging because it was the time of prayer. It was full of people, and about what I understood is the Jews, it was in their culture to give to the poor. So his situation is actually really common, and I believe that for the Jews to see beggars there was something really common. And my first point is wake up, because we have to wake up. We have to wake up on what God wants for us, on the impossible. John and Peter, they were awake. They knew that what they could give to this man was more than material things. So I saw that here in England we are really good for everything that is about charity and give to people. You have a lot of organization, and for me it's really an example. because in my country is not so much. It's we are not giving so much and helping so much the people in need. So here, the English culture is really an example to follow for myself in my own country, in my church, because I think we could do more. But now you have that, we can go a step further and wake up on the spiritual needs of people. And this is what Peter and John did. And we see that the beggar, for him, he was asleep spiritually, because he didn't look at them, because Peter said, "Look at us." He was in his he's living in his own condition, in his limitation, because he couldn't walk, and he was asking for money. He was asking for material things, but because of Eve was looking at his disability, he couldn't see further. He couldn't ask even for more than just material things. So his problem limited him, and this limitation directed his life and put him in a place that he had to beg to live, which was a place of humiliation and a place of misery. So we have the choice, okay? We have the choice to wake up, as Peter and John did, or we have the choice to be like the beggar and to be focused on our problems and what is wrong in our life and what we need, and no, I need this. But we need to set our mind on the kingdom of God, on kingdom mentality. And then we can ask for the right things, actually, and not waste our time. Because I believe that God wants to do so much more in our lives. And the problem is that our problems has power over us if we give them the power. And this limits us, brings limits to us. The problem is that we will always feel a need that will never be fulfilled. That's the problem, actually. And we need to fill this need with Jesus. So now, yeah, let's wake up and be aware of the reality of God, of the spiritual world, what is unseen, and that God has so much more for us. And that God is not limited. This is the most important thing. God is not limited. So I believe that God wants to open our eyes. Amen. Now, my second point. So, now that we are awake, are you awake? Yes? Amen. Get up, the second point. Okay, it's good to be aware of our spiritual needs, of the needs of people, emotional needs, all kind of needs is good. But then we have to do something, because otherwise nothing will happen. So, now, as Peter did, we have to get up, to move ourselves, to be in action, because actually an action is required to see the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom of God is here. But if you want to see it, we need to move. Peter, he gave the lame beggar what he had. He had no money. What he had was so much more precious. It's the power of Christ. Amen. And after that, we see that the beggar, once he was healed, he prayed God. It's so beautiful to see when God does something in our life, then we praise Him. This is also why we worship, because actually Jesus died on the cross for us. He redeemed us. He saved us. So we give Him worship. It's so beautiful, because then we can be living testimonies, in a sense that we don't have to speak, "Oh, Jesus did this, did that, but also our own life speaks for ourselves. And so in verse 7, so it's the miracle. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. So the miracle happened because Peter stretched his hand. He said, "In Jesus' name, be healed." But then he did the move. And also, there is a theologian that said, Thomas Walker said, the power was Christ, but the hand was Peter. So we need both, actually. It goes together. Because I believe that the power of God is already there. So yes, we have to get up and get out of our condition, of our misery, of our problems, situation. Okay, it belongs to Jesus, but then we have to take actions. And it is our responsibility to manifest the power of God. As I said, it's there. And if we don't move, nothing will happen, actually. So we have to be active in prayer, active in reading the Bible. I know that we are not religious. We are not Pharisees. It's not like, no, I have to. But you do it to fill your life, to fill your heart, to have an intimacy with Jesus. This is why we do it. And also, then we receive from God, and then we can see actually the kingdom of God happening around us. And this is so encouraging when we see the hand of God moving. So, I have a question for you. Are you a child of God? Amen. That was the answer I was expecting. Thank you. As children of God, the kingdom of God is ours. Amen. As Laure read before, it's our inheritance. Yeah. So I repeat again. As children of God, the kingdom of God is ours. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. This is such an amazing promise. An amazing promise. Because actually, everything that Jesus did in the Gospels, we can do it. I believe that we can pray for people to get to see again, the blind to see, the lame to walk. I mean, it's wow. I want to live in that reality, actually. I don't want to live in my limitation. So now in verse 9 and 10, we see also the purpose of miracle. So the beggar is healed, and then he prays God, and then the people around, they are amazed. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So, healing and miracles, they don't only happen for us to feel good, for us to have a good life. Wow, now I'm healed, now I see miracles, wow, it's amazing. I feel so good and my life is so good. No, it's not just because of that. Yes, it is, but not only because of that. The main purpose of miracles happening is, as I said before, to manifest the kingdom and the power of God and to bring people to salvation. This is why we are here. This is the Great Commission. It's to save people, to manifest it, to be. I believe that as children of God, we are the feet and hands of Jesus here. And I'm not saying that to put pressure on you. I'm sorry if you feel like that. It's not, I don't want to put pressure, but this is the purpose of miracles. So, in other words, yeah, the purpose of miracle is to release God's kingdom into the world for people to be saved. And now that, okay, we are awake on the spiritual world, we are in movement for God, we want to see the kingdom of God, we are not afraid, we are not full with doubts, or not too much focused on our problems. The reality is that we don't have to give up. And while I was preparing my preaching, I felt really strong in my heart for some of us this morning to say to you from the Lord, don't give up. Don't give up. After the miracle, we see in Acts 4, persecution coming. Because Satan is not happy with us. He's not happy with us bringing the power of God in this world to save people. The only purpose of Satan is to steal, kill, and destroy us, the creation of God, everything that we want to do for God. It's written in John 10:10. So, okay, all of us are facing opposition, we are facing certain kind of persecution from the enemy, but still, don't give up. To see miracles, it requires perseverance and faith. It's in the Bible. It's perseverance and faith. And this is really often what I say to people, to younger people in my church. It's the secret. You have to persevere and to have faith in everything that you are doing. Because otherwise, if you don't persevere, if you don't have faith, once again, you will not see anything. Because you will stop before the miracle. So I know it's not easy, because this is our reality. Sometimes we pray years and years for something that is not happening. But keep praying, even if nothing is happening. I don't know why sometimes things are not happening. I don't know. I cannot say why we pray for someone that is ill with cancer and that person dies. I don't know. And then we are really crushed, we are depressed. Other situation, we don't see the hand of God. And it's so discouraging. Discouraging, yeah. So discouraging. But don't give up. Know that your God knows that what you are passing through. Know that you have the King of Kings on your side. And that even if it's hard for us, He has set the perfect time. It's so hard to believe in that. It's so hard to wait and wait. But we have to believe. And God's thinking are higher than ours. And what God has for us is higher than what we have in mind. So we are thinking like that, like, God, do this, do this, do this, but we don't see the full picture, as the same as the lame beggar. In 2 Chronicles 15:7, it's written, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. And the ESV version is, "But you take courage, do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." So, maybe I'm the only one, but I've been disappointed on God. I mean, God disappointed me a lot of times. And it's even hard to say that because He's God. So who am I to say, "Oh God, I'm so disappointed"? But this is the reality. Sometimes this is how we feel. And we cannot ignore it. But then we can have faith and say, "Okay, God, I'm so disappointed. But still I trust in you." And also, your faith, it's a promise from God. Your faith will be rewarded. It's written. It's not from me. It's from the Bible. So our faith will be rewarded. So, this is what I had in my heart. I lost my mind. Jesus is alive, and we often live as He was, as the Catholics, He's still nailed on the cross. But actually, He's alive. When the woman went to the tomb was empty because He rose, and now He's seated at the right hand of God. So the one that you are worshiping, the one that you gave your life to, is the King of Kings. He's above all things. He's reigning over everything, even though sometimes we feel that it's more Satan that is reigning. Actually, no, it's a lie. Jesus is reigning. And to experience that reality, we need to accept Jesus in our lives. We need to invite Him in our life. You want to see a change in your life? Do you want something to change? Okay, invite Jesus in that, in your situation. And more than that, give Him the lead. Give Him the control. I know it's hard. We are human. We want to control things. We want to be in control of our lives. But because sometimes it's too heavy to wear. So just give it to Jesus, okay? Give it to Jesus. He will do it for us. He will do it for you. And we need to accept to live under His kingship. And accept the work He wants to do in our lives. Sometimes it's, once again, it's hard. Life is hard. But we don't want Jesus to touch that part of our lives because it's too painful. But let Jesus heal you. Let Jesus heal your wounds, your emotions, everything that Satan broke in you. Jesus can restore it. And you may think, yeah, she's young, you know. Maybe she hasn't lived life. But at our own levels, I believe we've all been broken at some points. And I'm 27, and I've worked with Jesus for 14 years. And I was not born in a Christian family, but my dad is mentally healed. All my dreams were broken. I had dreams in my life. I wanted to do things. I wanted to be a nurse and to save people's life. And everything, God removed everything. And when I was 25, I had surgery and I had complications after that surgery. I had infections and I was in the intensive care for five weeks. I almost died. I couldn't move. I was in my bed, 25 years old, and I couldn't move. And I was, people were, you know, washing me, doing that kind of things. And the doctors thought I was going to die. And I was conscious the whole time. And I was like, okay, God, that's the worst time of my life because I have nothing left. But I trust in you. I trust in you. And the fact that I'm here in front of you is that it's a miracle because I was supposed to die. And I believe that what Jesus did in my life, He also did the same in yours. And He will do the same if you're expecting a miracle. I promise you, He's a good God. And every time in my hospital bed, I was feeling pain all over my body. I couldn't breathe properly. I couldn't move, but always I had this thought, God, you are good. I know that you are good. It's the worst time of my life. But proclaiming that you are good because we have a good Father. So I want to, maybe if the worship team wants to come. What we have, we want to give it to you. It might be little. But I believe that God can do miracles because He did it in the past and there is no reason why He will not do it now. Okay? I believe in miracles. I believe that we are an almighty God. So, we would like to pray for you, obviously. We are here to be a blessing for each other. But the question is, are you ready also to see the miracle? Are you ready? Because we are. We are ready. We would like to pray for you because we love you. We really were praying for you. And I was like, God, thank you for this opportunity to just show love. And we would like to pray for healing, for emotional, physical, spiritual healing, all kind of healings. God healed me, and I want to pray for you to be healed as well.